Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Question for you. Would you like to be happier? Maybe more positive? Psychotherapist and best-selling author Richard Hogan reckons he knows how to train your brain to do this, and apparently all it takes is 5 minutes every day for 21 days. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Lottie. Lovely to be on the show.
Oh, lovely to have you. I suppose, Richard, let's start by you telling me a little bit maybe about yourself and your background.
Sure, thanks, Lottie. Well, I'm a systemically trained family psychotherapist. I'm the author of Parenting the Screenager, and I'm also a Fulbright scholar. So I've been carrying out a lot of research around what makes us, you know, what makes us fulfilled, what gives us meaning in our lives. So over the last number of years in my clinic, I've been meeting a lot of clients, and I've been developing lots of ideas about, you know, what's going on for people out there and what can we do to help them. And so when I came to developing the content for this, you know, myself and RCP wanted it to be free. We've all been through such a difficult time for the last 2 years. And so we wanted this to be something that people could access for free, and that it was, I suppose, what I feel one of my strengths is that I've been teaching and lecturing for so long that I can break down heavy concepts and make them accessible. And that's what I did with this content, just made it nice and accessible for people to be able to access it and understand what's been said in it.
So you mentioned there, obviously, has been through a difficult time over the past couple of years. But I think January, probably in particular, you know, it's typically a month that people have resolutions about getting their lives together. But I think, ironically, for a lot of people, January is quite a bleak month. People struggle with it.
I think you're right. I think the T.S. Eliot line, you know, April is the coolest month. I think January is the coolest month. I think there's loads of reasons for that, Lottie. I think the way the sun hits Ireland in particular, the lack of vitamin D, I think a lot of people got paid before Christmas, and so they've been waiting nearly 6 weeks for wages to come in. So there's huge financial pressure, and then all the things that they bought over Christmas, and maybe the little bit of excessive behaviour that went on over Christmas, and then you're pulling back and you're rolling back. I got to get myself back in shape here. And all of a sudden you're living a very kind of frugal, not so exciting life that you were leading 4 weeks ago. So there's loads of things that feed into it. And that's why, you know, Blue Monday on the 17th of January this year, you know, I think the mid-January, and I think what really makes it, Lottie, a difficult time is people launch out. This is what I see in my clinic. People launch out the 1st of January with loads of ideas, and by the 17th, the 20th, they're falling back into their old patterns of behavior, because habits, you know, that old Samuel Johnson quote, the chains of habit are too weak to notice until they're too strong to feel. And then when you realize that you've fallen back into your old habit, you feel hopeless. You feel powerless.
So do people come into you then, maybe into your clinic in January, and like you're saying, there's a lot of crap going on, the weather, the post-Christmas bank balance,
exactly,
yada, yada, yada. Do they come in under a lot of pressure? Maybe they've set the bar too high and now they're making the mistakes. So how, or what you were saying, they're falling into old habits. How do you talk them through that?
Exactly, that's exactly what happens, Lottie. Around this time of year, I meet my clients, and they're actually kind of quite despairing at times and very hopeless, feeling, you know, they wanted to do this. They know, most of us, Lottie, know that things need to change. Most of us know that things aren't going the way we want them to go, and we know that the person that we're projecting into society here is not who we want to project. And so they feel that they want to change, but they don't know how to change.
Mm.
And so the first thing I look at is, you know, what are the beliefs, the paradigms that are holding you back? And so I look really early on. This happens early in our formation, Lottie, right? And nothing's more complicated than the family system that we come out of. And I'm a family therapist, and I'm a systems-trained psychotherapist. So I look at the system of the family and what labels you received as a kid, what ideas that you develop about yourself as a young person, you know, in those really, really important formative years, what did you develop about yourself? So you look at those first, and you try to actually basically unpack them and then rewrite them.
So is that what it mainly comes back to for most people, is family?
It does, Lottie, and that's the first day of the challenge, of this challenge. I ask people to draw a genogram, which is like a family tree. Look at the family you came from, and I ask them, you know, very direct questions. What did you learn about yourself? What labels did you tell yourself about yourself? You know, what's the story that you developed about yourself and that you know that's probably no longer fit for purpose? And then on the second day, we look at, like, personality traits. So you put the story that you developed about yourself, from the family that you came through, and then you look at your personality type, like maybe say agreeableness, and then you've got this, you know, when you understand that I'm quite an agreeable person. I think women suffer with this a lot, you know, that they have high levels of agreeableness, which means they want to be the good daughter, the good wife, the good mother. And so they say yes to things, and they say yes to a lot of things that they know that's not sustainable, and they're burnt out. Mm-hmm. And you've got to look at that, and you've got to really say that that's not who I want to be in the world. And where does that come from? Well, there might be an idea in there that to be valued or to be loved, you must do everything people ask you. And I said, that's a very destructive thing for your levels of happiness. And so we get in there and we rewrite that.
Jesus, it sounds very helpful.
Exactly.
So you're talking about, oh, this is day one, this is day two. It's a 21-day challenge. Yeah. Why is it 21 days?
Well, 3 weeks would be the optimal time to see change in your life, I think. You know, neuroscience would say 3 weeks is a very good time to look at bringing change into your life and rewiring your brain. You know, what happens is neurons fire and they connect and they wire together, and then a thought happens. And then you look for confirmation of that, Lottie. Let's just say when you were 8 years of age, you had a thought that you're not that good, or you're not that bright, or you're not that funny, people don't like you, whatever it is you had a thought. Then you look for confirmation of it. And once you get that confirmation, it becomes a pathway and the only thought available to you. And that develops over the course of your life, right back from that 8-9 period, right up into your adult life, you start to develop ideas based on that premise. So we get in there and we rewrite that, and it takes about 3 weeks to kind of really bring about that change. But what I think is really unique about this challenge, and people have been emailing me all since it started, you know, on day 10, I asked them to reconnect, because connection is really vital for our well-being, to reconnect with somebody who they value, who they've lost connection with, maybe a family member that they've fallen out with, or a friend that they loved, but that they've lost their way, and I've asked them to reconnect with them. And that takes a little bit of a leap of faith, you know, that takes a bit of courage. The amount of emails that I've received, Lottie, saying that, like, I've reconnected with an old friend, or I've reconnected with my family member who I love, that I lost, you know, contact because of this fight, and we've reconnected and we've built our friendships again. It just improves everything, because when you're conflicted with someone like that, it impacts, it's so pervasive. And you say it to yourself, you fool yourself and say, well, it's not bothering me at all, I'm fine. But the reality is, you know, it's in everything. It's just insidious and it feeds into everything. And yeah. So we're disrupting those.
It's so true, because for example, with the friendships that I might have lost in secondary school and stuff, I say, oh, but that was back in secondary school. Exactly. Doesn't bother me anymore. But if I was to sit down and have a conversation with somebody about it in depth, I know it would terribly upset me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. And you know, a lot of people said to me, Lottie, and I've had this myself, you know, I'm 46 years of age now, I'm a bit down the line from you there, but, you know, we all lose friends along the way. It's that Bob Dylan song, you know, friends will arrive and friends will disappear. But when you really think about it, you know, people said to me there a lot, you know, I don't know, do I want to reach out to that friend? I don't want to get rebuffed, you know, I don't want to be rejected. And I said, well, it takes a bit of courage. And you have to allow for the fact that you might get rejected, but what happens if you don't get rejected? And what happens if they're thinking the same thing? What happens if they're thinking, God, I'd love to reconnect with Lottie. She's really cool. I love being her friend. And, you know, we kind of separated, you know, over the course of our lives. Maybe they're thinking the same thing. And when you make that initial reach, perhaps that friendship is rekindled again. And then all of a sudden, all that hurt is gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary concept, but then what's a wonderful concept is the idea of letting go of the hurt and upset. That should hopefully override the feeling of being scared of taking a step, I suppose. Now, absolutely. you say it takes just 5 minutes a day. Is that true?
That's right, yeah. But it's not even about five. It's about three-minute videos where I go through different. Every day builds on the other day and the day that follows. So it's like, you know, it's where work starts off looking at your family, then looks at your personality type, and then it moves into kind of areas around neuroscience and thoughts, that we have about 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, and that 90% of those are the thoughts we thought yesterday, so we have about 10% chance of changing if we don't do it intentionally. And so it's about intentionally disrupting. So, you know, each day is about 3 or 4 minutes of a video, but they're dense now, Lottie. I mean, you would need to, and you can access them at any time. You can go back and watch them as many times as you want. And I'd say to people to have a journal and have a pen with you know, and write down some of the tasks that I give you, and then do them over the course of the following days.
And does it matter what time of the day people do this?
No, not at all. They're up on my Instagram, and they're on RSVP Live, and they're on my own Instagram, Official Richard Hogan, and you can watch them at any time. And before you start, Lottie, there's a happiness quiz, a survey, so to get you get a percentage of where you are on the happiness scale, and then halfway through on the 11th day, you do it again, and then on the 21st day, you do it again. And we did a halfway mark there, and 92% of people said that their levels of happiness have changed and that they've developed more positive ways of thinking.
Jesus, 92% is pretty
92.
Good.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's amazing. Now, I know, obviously, it's the 25th today, so we're almost over January, thank God. But like I said, people find it hard to get motivated. So is there a challenge maybe that you could recommend for people to take on in February?
Yeah, well, this is the thing about this is you can access it any time. It's not just for January. You know, the thing is it's a three-week challenge, so you can start it. You could start it the 1st of February. You can start it mid-February. You can start it any time. All you have to do is go onto my Instagram, and it's up there every day. I've been putting up the videos live, and it's on RCP live as well. And you can go up and access the videos at any time, and you can do the quiz at any time. So it's not like it's just for January. Really, this kind of thing is for life. You know, I get back into it myself. A lot, you know, as a psychotherapist, I go back and look at some of the ideas all the time.
I'm going to actually do it myself, I've decided.
I'd love to hear how you get on.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to do it because I'm interested to know. I just even love the idea of doing the happiness quiz at the beginning, seeing where you're at, and then why not see what you can change in 21 days? Like, even if you're not thinking you're unhappy, why not just give it a go and see, could you be even happier? So, I mean, I think everybody should do something like this. Give out your Instagram once more, Richard, in case people missed it.
Cheers. Thanks, Lottie. And I hope you keep in contact. Let me know how you get on with it.
I will.
Official Richard Hogan.
Official Richard Hogan. Richard, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thanks, Lottie. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.